So hi, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT monthly content review class. And we started doing these more recently, and we're up to module 4 now or 5. What am I supposed to be doing today? I was thinking I was doing micronutrients. Yeah, because we did macro last month. We did macronutrients last time, which was the fats, carbohydrates, and protein. And now we're going into the big whopper module, which is micronutrients. And before we start that, I just want to tell everybody, I want to give you a strategy for making it through that, but not like being stuck there and feeling like, do I have to do another micronutrient? I want to get to the next module. Here's what I would recommend. Set aside a month and every week do 1 to 2 nutrients. So that's your month on this module. And then towards the end of that month, when you've really dedicated, then I would say, reach out. If you want to open the next module, reach out to Lynn. If you don't already have it, some of you already have it open. Reach out to Lynn and say, hey, I've done a month of this module and I want to open the next module and I'll continue. And that, because usually you have to finish the module and check all the boxes and take the test. So I would love to have you do that and then continue to do 1 to 2 a week, 1 to 2 every other week, along with keeping moving. Does that make sense? And that way, and you don't have to go in the order that the micronutrients are there. I'll show you how it looks. You can just say, I really want to study vitamin C today. And no, I'm interested in biotin. And you can go in whatever order you want, because the beauty of this module is it's not cumulative. It's not building. Like the thyroid module, if you go to the fourth part before you do the first part, you're kind of in the dark about some of the basic anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and you may lose some stuff. But with this, it's great. Elaine says she loved the micronutrient module, and Lynn says she's always reviewing it, which is, there's a lot there. So what I'm going to do, and my plan today, is to go through and share with you what's in there and share with you a strategy for how to study each of the nutrients. You are not going to memorize everything in every one of these. I'm just going to say that again. You are not going to memorize everything, every fact in every one of these module, every one of these little sections. Unless you're an Einstein and you have a photographic memory, or like Jeffrey Bland, who every study he reads, he can quote you back what year it was. And most of us are not like that. I have not memorized everything in there. I review, I look things up. And then if I want to go, I'm wondering about this B2. Is she's eating enough, but what might be going on with it? I can go back in there. I would highly recommend that you start making some charts as you go through it. This is what I used to do when I was in college and grad school. I would make charts. So the chart would be all the important parameters of each of these. So say it's you can even do it in a Google spreadsheet. Say down the side is the nutrients, and across the top are some factors related to those, like key factors, like what's the main food sources of them? What's the main function? Where in the gut are they absorbed? What are some of the interfering factors with them, right? What are some of the medical new uses? Like, how are we using them in a therapeutic way, right? What symptoms do deficiencies cause, right? And you can just, as you're going through, you'll think about what those topics should be, what's really important to you. And then as you're going through, you're just going to jot things down. Maybe when you get to the end of that module, you'll go and jot it down. Maybe you're like me, where, instead of a highlighter, because it's digital, you're just taking clips. You're just copy pasting stuff from the transcript even and putting it into that section. The reason for doing this is, number one, now you have a nice cheat sheet when you're done, because we remember about, 7 to 10% at the most of what we actually hear the first time. But the other thing is, the act of taking it and making it kinesthetic and writing it or typing it in is going to help you remember it. And when I was in school, I was valedictorian in high school, and I was valedictorian in my chiropractic class, not because I'm so brilliant, is because I had good study habits. And my study habits weren't sit down right before, study, trying to memorize. I never would memorize anything. I would make charts. I would make cards. I would manipulate the information over and over again in a lot of different ways. And then I would almost never look at my charts at the end, because I made them in so many ways and manipulated the information so many times that it was in my head. Now, that's how I learn. I'm a kinesthetic kinesthetic, visual, audio. I mean, a combination, but I think the kinesthetic is very important for me, right? So figure out what the best way to do it is, but also to create reference charts for you, right? When you're sitting in front of somebody, you're like, wow, this really sounds like B vitamins. Oh, but what else? I would do, and this is how I would do it. I would have charts that went in all the different directions. So I'd have a chart of the nutrients and what all those things were. Then I'd take, what are all the nutrients that cause, paresthesias? What are all the nutrients that a deficiency of would cause paresthesias? So then as I'm going through, I would have a card and I would write down what that was. So I would manipulate the information in many ways. Like clinically, right, if somebody's presenting with a bunch of symptoms, you want to know, wow, what could those symptoms be? If it is a nutritional deficiency, what could be a deficiency of, right? And there's multiple nutrients that have similar. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the B vitamins might cause the little, you know, thing at the side of the chelosis thing or whatever it's called, off to the side here of the lip, right? What else might cause that? Oh, and the zinc deficiency might cause that too. Maybe she has a zinc deficiency. So it gives you places to look. Then when you're looking and you're going, wow, this person really sounds like she's deficient in these three things. What do these things have in common? Right? Oh, they're all absorbed in the small intestine. Isn't that interesting? When I look at her diet, she seems to be having plenty of these in there. Maybe she's got something going on, an inflammation or something in her small intestine. Maybe she's got some SIBO that's going on, or maybe she's got some fungal overgrowth and it's eating up her nutrients. So the more you go through the information and just categorize it for yourself, the easier it's going to be to understand it. But again, this is what books are for. I am surrounded by books, guys. Those of you who've been to my house, you've seen it. You know I'm surrounded by books. And I know that I could just grab this book and go, oh, I mean, I certainly haven't memorized this book, the genetic test. I'm like, okay, what does that one mean? And the more I look them up, the more I see like my family members, myself, you know, clients I'm working with have some of those SNPs. I remember them. Similarly with the vitamin deficiencies, right? There's certain deficiencies. There's certain symptoms I hear and right away my brain goes to, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Okay. So we want you to make clinical use of this information. It's not just for educational purposes, right? Where just to be brainy. I know that in school we had to memorize every little tubercle on every bone. And what part of what tendon attached to it? That wasn't useful for me. What was useful for me was, what does that thing do? Which of those muscles are going to cause me to be able to flex my arm versus extend my arm? I don't care the name of the tubercle that it's attached to, quite frankly. That's like intellectual minutiae. Right? It's good for maybe those games like Trivial Pursuit or something, medical Trivial Pursuit. It's not really useful in clinical practice. So that's just my two cents. So everybody ready to look at the site and kind of explore what we have there and just kind of go through a little bit? Yeah? Yes? Allison probably knows better than I how much minutiae she had to do, right? In going through residency and internship and like lots of minutiae, right? Lots of stuff you never used in clinical practice. Yeah. How many things do you still remember that you never used in clinical practice? Not much. Yeah. And then they didn't teach the stuff that you do use in clinical practice that you do need or didn't know you needed until now. Yeah. We could do Micronutrients Jeopardy. I love that. When I go to some of these retreats, I go to one with JJ Virgin and they always come up with some kind of medical charades is their favorite one. Medical charades where you're trying to, figure out what this thing is, person's acting out. And it's all these like long medical terms, crazy. All right. So we're in, let me share my screen. Share. You know, it's interesting. I have to have this in full mode in order to see the share screen road. It doesn't show up on the more screen. So let me do this and I'll do share and then I'll make it smaller over there. All right, good. All right. You guys see my screen? Mm-hmm. Shake your head. Yes. Okay. Good. I'm not seeing the list of you guys. Oh, here it is over here. I'll have this over here. So in case any questions or anything come in, manage participants and chat. Okay, I got those two right there. I have two screens, and that's why I'm looking over at the other side. All right, so this is your dashboard. We're going to go down to here. We're going to go down to micronutrients, which is actually four. Okay, it is four. That's what I was thinking. It was the fourth one, but I was thinking it was module five. All right. Again, you know, you've got your learning objectives. What are your learning objectives, right? It's always good to look there because you may be thinking your learning objectives are a little bit different than they really are. The learning objectives of all your modules is to be able to get the information that you need and the critical thinking skills that you need to be able to really dig and support this person that's sitting in front of you. So in this case, because it's micronutrients, be able to list and categorize the micronutrients that affect your client's health and nutrition status. And Matt, when I say categorize, and oftentimes it's meaning like macro versus micro. Do we need them in small amounts? Do we need them in large amounts? Vitamins versus minerals, you know, fat-soluble vitamins versus water-soluble vitamins. So those are some of the categories that actually make sense. Understand what vitamins are and what the functions are. Be able to recommend food sources for the nutrients. That doesn't mean that you've memorized all the food sources. You know where your charts are that you can refer to. Understand when to supplement and when to stick to food. Be able to recognize deficiency signs and then know when and how to test. Now, testing for vitamins can be an expensive proposition. It's not something I do right up front with people because, quite frankly, most people start out deficient because their diets are deficient. So we start by cleaning up the diet. And in each of these sections, we talk about the methods of testing. Some people think you can just test serum. Very few vitamins and minerals, the serum level actually makes any sense. Vitamin A, yeah. Vitamin D, yeah. B12, no. Folate, no. Calcium is a good source, but not a good, it's a good measure in the blood, but it's more from an electrolyte standpoint. It doesn't mean that you have a deficiency or excess dietarily. There are a few. Most of them not. Red blood cell, magnesium. That's the way you do it, right? Some of them are in the white blood cells. Some of them are in the serum. Some of them are in the hair. Some of them are going to be in the urine. So we've got your pretest. Good old pretest. Do the pretest. You don't have to do the pretest. It's not going to prevent you from, finishing. You can just say, I did the pretest and not do it. But it helps you to see where some of your holes are. They're all short. I mean, it's a pretest for the whole 22 pieces. So it's not very thorough, but it just gives you an idea of, oh, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? In this particular module, it's not as telling as some of the shorter ones. So then we have your introduction to vitamins and introduction to minerals, and then we have each of them. So we'll go through and show you what's there. Before I go through that, I want to just show you there's advanced topics and references. Okay. And these are just things that I've found as I go through. And if anybody finds anything they really think would be good for the advanced topics and references, these are some books. I think this is our textbook. The textbook has a lot of everything. So that's a really good way to look at it and see the biochemistry and the mechanisms for all the nutrients. I haven't looked at this in a while, so I'm not sure what this exactly is. Oh, so just a nice chart, right? So I found these cool charts for you. And they're on somebody's website. I just gave you the link. So, you know, these are really nice. Now, all the sources are not necessarily the best sources. Milk and butter and bread and all those kind of things are not necessarily, you know, healthy in other ways for people. And then there's this whole thing on vitamin A, which I thought was really interesting. And then it has its interactions with others. So, I just found that one interesting at one point, so I put it on there. So that's what the advanced topics are. If anybody has any other things that you've found, like some really cool charts or advanced stuff with nutrients, let us know so we can post links there. And then we have the done for you. And in the done for you, again, remember, is where you can take them and you can hand them to your clients. And there, that's where we have our nutrient assessment chart and our our nutrient assessment chart in PDF and in doc form, so you can edit it and make it, you know, add questions, take away questions, whatever. We've got assignment. Who's done this assignment? Anybody? Yeah, Lynn has. I think Drina has. Okay, so there's the instructions. You're just going to pick one of these nutrients and do a paper. And it's a paper that's, you know, kind of along the guidelines of how you would do a technical paper. And the purpose of these papers is you're going to write it in a way that makes sense to your client. And the goal was, we have to see how many we've collected so far and start to create them. I think we were thinking a book, but I think a living book would be better, like a Google Drive where everybody's things are full, are in there, and then everybody else can access them. But you basically write this report, and it's a 2-page report, and it's just about this nutrient. It helps you to get more and more into it. I remember a whole bunch of people did them early on. I know Steph did one on selenium that I really enjoyed, and can't remember all the others. But we should be putting them into this a folder. Let's make a note of these things, Lynn, as we go through, so we can put them on our nice to-do list. So that's your assignment. And then your next steps. And we always try to give you the next steps that make sense for you learning this stuff and putting it into practice. So choose a client, use the assessments to assess their vitamin and mineral status using the nutrient assessments chart and scorecard, and then determine their top 5 micronutrient deficiencies based on those charts, and then design a diet and supplement plan to address them. Is that practical or what, right? That's not telling me, you know, the biochemistry of a particular nutrient and where in the jejunum it's actually absorbed and blah. It's stuff that's really practical, okay? And that's the module. And then there's the exam. Well, the exam is in 3 parts. 4 parts? 4 parts, right? Because we wanted it to be comprehensive, but we didn't think anybody wanted to sit there and take a test for 4 hours. So we broke it up into 4 parts, the intro and vitamins A, C, D, E, and K. Then we did a whole separate one on the B vitamins. Then we have intro to minerals and macro minerals and then micro minerals. So we broke them out. And each one I'm thinking has, like, I'll just open up this one, has anywhere from 50 questions, probably 50. This one has 61 questions. Let's see what this one has. B vitamins probably has similar. I think there might be one that has close to 100. Yes, it's still on the, like, 50 to 60 range in terms of the numbers of questions, but it's just so that you don't have to sit there for hours. I remember taking board exams and your brain is fried by the time you get to the end of this crazy test. Yeah, this one's 93, right? Okay. So they're all around the same, you know, somewhere between 50 and 90, 100 questions. Who's done that? Who's finished that test? Anybody? Type into the chat. I want to hear it. Yay for 4-part exams. Yes, of course. Sammy would be good, yeah. Sammy would be very good. Yeah. Oh, wow. Martha found the textbook at a used bookstore for $6. You beat me. I found mine on Amazon for $20. That's cool. You did it in exam, professor, at the time. Yeah. Cool. You should do it again, though. I'm telling people, if you did some in the old program, the exam professor, go do it again. Not necessarily for us. You still have credit, but it's just good for you to have that extra review, right? All right. So let's look at how each of these is structured. Does anybody want to throw out one nutrient you want to look at? I can start with any one of them. Is there just 4 tests, or is there also a comprehensive on micro? I think this one is, there's 4 parts, but one of them is the micro. Micro minerals is one of the 4 parts. Oh, you mean a comprehensive on the whole of micronutrients? No, because we just didn't want to have you sitting taking a 400 question test or whatever. All right. Anybody have one? Otherwise, I'll grab one. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's look at B12. Okay. Let's just pick B12. It's such a common deficiency. Let's look at B12. All right. So you have your checklist, downloaded your transcripts. We put this in the checklist, by the way, throughout the program. It took a little extra work to do because people would be like, oh, it takes so long if I just have to go and download all the materials. Like, it doesn't take long if you do it while you're in there the first time, right? So we have it there to remind you, download it, create a file, even if it's just one of those separate little, what do they call them now? They used to be these discs and now they're just a little card that you can just put stuff on, or a USB stick. Those hold a lot. And you can just download your stuff and have it on there. We just got little ones, like five gig or 8 gig cards. And we put stuff on it and it was like hardly any. We got all of modules 1, 2, and 3 on there. And we'd only taken up a fraction of the card. So you can get a lot on there, even if you had like 2 or 3 of them to get the whole program. That would be nice because then you can carry it with you if you're on an airplane or, you know, places where you don't have internet and you want to review things. All right, so this is B12. Of course, everything has a video and slides. I'm going to see how long this one is. This one's 1 hour and 18 minutes. Most of them are somewhere between, you know, 45 minutes and 1 hour and 15. I think one of them might have gone to 1 hour. This might be the longest one. One of them might have gone to 1.5 hours. I try to separate things, but it's really hard to know where to separate things sometimes. So it's just one big long one, but you can stop it at any point in time. You've got the downloadable. So guys, this is a treat because most programs don't let you download the videos. And I hate that because then I have to sit at the computer when really what I want to do is listen while I'm running or sitting in an airplane. I want to watch this stuff and you can't do it in an airplane, even if you pay them for the crappy internet. So you get the video, you get the audio, you get the full set of slides, you get the 3 up slides, and then you get the transcript. So there's a lot of ways. And the fact that we only learn by, 7 to 10% on one exposure to something, you can do this in multiple ways. You can just sit and watch the video. You can sit and watch the video while you're doing something else and just take notes on the slides as you go along. Or you can sit there and focus on it and have your slides printed out and take notes on it. You can go back through with a highlighter and highlight in the transcript the areas that you want to go back to, right? And then on the slides, you know, they're great charts. A lot of the slides have great charts. So we'll look to see what's in here. So I want to just show you. So we start usually with the general information. We go into the structure, and you may be saying, well, why do I care about the structure? I'm not a biochemist. It really makes a difference when you're learning about the structure and you're learning about the mechanism that certain chemicals have on them, the impact of how they're absorbed and where they're absorbed. It's dependent on some of their structure. And it just demystifies, like, what is cyanocobalamin? Well, this is what it actually looks like. I'm going to get out of this one and into the biggies because these charts are too complicated for small ones. So what is it? What's its structure, right? In this particular, this one is complicated. It's got a cyano, so it's got some cyanide in there. It's got a hydroxyl. It's got water. It's got nitric oxide. It's got all nitric acid. It's got all these different pieces. So if you look at it, right, at the beginning is cobalamin. And the middle, the center is cobalamin. Then it's got all these other little pieces onto it, which affect its solubility, which affect its absorption, which affects its usefulness. So these are the three main types of cobalamin, or the four actually, methyl, hydroxyl, cyano, and adenosyl. And the thing is, cyano is the most common because it's the cheapest. But it's also the least well-absorbed and the least biologically active. So the methyl is the most biologically active. And sometimes folks have a little bit of trouble with the methyl if they have other methylation issues that we talk about in the genetics module. So we may be looking at adenosyl or a hydroxyl. Adenosyl actually works more directly in the mitochondria. So for people who have very low types of energy, I usually do that. Then we go into storage. And here's the thing. I got to stop myself because I can spend a whole hour talking about this nutrient because guess what? I already did, right? So I'm just wanting to show you the overall and how you can use this information, Right. But this is important stuff, the absorption and storage. If somebody's low in B12, it doesn't mean you just give them B12, right? It means that you want to figure out why. So they need stomach acid. They need to have intrinsic factor. If they have had an ulcer or gastritis where there's damage that's happened to their stomach lining, to those cells, they're not going to make enough intrinsic factor, which is why most people recommend for B12 sublingual or topical, right? And that's why a lot of people say, oh, I'm doing fine. My multi-B vitamin has enough B12. Maybe, but maybe not, because you may not be absorbing it very well. And even if you do have a good intrinsic factor, you're not going to necessarily be absorbing it real well. Where is it stored? How long does it take to get into the bloodstream, right? How's it transported? And here's a nice little flowchart for this about the absorption of it, right? This is the wheres and the whys and the hows, right? So you think, oh, this person's not absorbing the B12. Well, B12 is unique in that intrinsic factor is a carrier that latches onto the B12 and then carries it all the way through the digestive tract, all the way out to the cecum, right by the ileocecal valve, and then the ileocecal. And then intrinsic factor at that point lets go, and that's where it's absorbed. So think about all the crazy things that can happen along the way. Number one, not enough intrinsic factor to carry it. It doesn't go anywhere. Or number two, there may be some things along the way that break it apart from the intrinsic factor. And the only cells that really effectively, efficiently absorb it is down there at the end of the distal ileum. So, those are good things to know. And you'll learn more as I go through it. And it just shows you the path of it, how it's metabolized, influences. So when you're thinking about this stuff, oh, is this person have this particular condition or that? How is that going to impact their nutrient absorption? And do I need to be giving this person? And what form of this do I need to be recommending to this person? And then, of course, functions, right? We know that B12 is so critical for so many things, right? So is this person having signs of it? Here's the thing with B12 deficiency. You do have to be careful and know what the early signs of B12 deficiency are, because when it progresses to the neurological damage, sometimes it's too late and it's irreversible, right? So we really want to watch for the anemia. We want to look at the red blood cell size. If we're starting to see those red blood cells getting bigger and bigger, we got to suspect that they're not getting enough B12. And we want to catch it when it's at that anemia state before it becomes a neurological disaster, right? It can cause schizophrenia. It can cause all sorts of mental imbalances to have this, in addition to just not learning well and anemia, not having enough energy. Huge amount of stuff. There's a book called Could It Be B12? Really, really useful book that goes into way more detail than we go in here, but it's definitely a good book to have. Tells you all about these. How are they absorbed? Where are they? How much of it is percentage? Like methyl is 60-80% in the blood. Adenosyl is 20%, right? And the impact on homocysteine. And guys, this is super important. Really study this part, because you're going to have people at high risk for heart disease, have family history of heart disease, have family history of insulin resistance and diabetes, and they're at much higher risk of heart disease themselves, especially with the homocysteine. And this is one of the few areas where conventional Western medicine doctors are looking at nutrition. They go, oh, homocysteine's high. I'm going to give them B12, B6, and folate. They may not even understand the mechanism, but that's what they do. And it works. It brings the homocysteine down. Now, we take it a step further and go, why are they deficient in those things? Is it a nutrient deficiency? Is it an absorption issue? Are there other interfering factors? Okay. Heart disease. I talk about the homocysteine pathway, the methylation, anemia, right? And this is what the difference is. Normal blood cells and megaloblastic anemia, they're bigger. Whereas with low iron, they're tiny. And you'll see that when we do the iron. And so as you're going through these nutrients, I think about them in relation to other nutrients. I think about how they may present in a similar way, right? So this is good stuff. And the relationship with folate and DNA repair and lots of good stuff. B12 deficiency without the megaloblastic anemia. Here's the thing. Be careful with your people who are vegetarian with B12 deficiencies. good, healthy vegetarian vegans or plant-based, high plant-based people that are eating a lot of green leafy vegetables, because the folate can mask a B12 deficiency because they have similar functions. So if you have super high levels of the folate, you're not going to see the early signs in the MCV getting bigger and bigger because the folate is keeping that under control. The folate is keeping the anemia under control. And then they're developing the neurologic symptoms, right? The neurologic symptoms. So it's really important. So there's cases and pernicious anemia. Pernicious anemia usually applies to when they're not making enough intrinsic factor in the stomach. It could be an autoimmune thing. There's that book. The reference is in there. Fatigue, breast cancer, male fertility. So these are all the different things that B12 can be related to, right? Do we have excess? Yeah, everything can have excess symptoms. It takes a lot oftentimes, especially for water solubles, but B12 is actually stored in the liver and you can store 7 years supply in the liver. So we do want to make sure that they're not getting too much. Very rarely excessive can cause the same symptoms as a deficiency, like the numbness and tingling in the hands. We call this a stocking and glove paresthesia with B12 deficiency. So somebody's saying that they have their hands like in the distribution of like gloves and in the feet and the distribution of socks, that you know, you want to be thinking B12. And then here's how it interacts with other nutrients. So each and every one of these is laid out this way, where all this information, there's much more for B12 because there's just a lot more that it's been studied. But what else, you know, what else interferes? What else helps it, right? So you want to learn those things. You want to know which nutrients you don't want to take together. And then you want to know what depletes it. So somebody has a B12 deficiency signs and they're on any of these medications. A lot of medications get in the way. A lot of people used to take tetracycline for acne. It was very recommended. A lot of people are taking some of these cholesterol lowering medications. What they're not seeing and knowing is that it can interfere with their B12 status, right? So this is a good thing to know. These kind of charts are the ones that I like to have printed out and put into a binder to keep handy, so as I'm talking to people, I can pull out and see, you know, what medications they're on and what kind of things can get in the way. RDAs, right? I never trust the RDAs really, but what are the food sources? A lot of people will say, well, yeah, it's really only found in animal foods because it's made by bacteria. And those bacteria actually grow in the guts of the animals, and that's where that comes from, right? So that's why we have it in animal foods. They're the only organisms that know it. Now, there's some research, and I think it's kind of older research that would say, well, what was happening is that we do have those organisms that make B12, but for us as humans, they live in the large intestine. And others, there were some research studies that were arguing that, well, when somebody's on a bad diet, the Western diet, those organisms translocate into the large intestine. But they translocate there, but when you get on a healthier diet, they can move back up. Because if those organisms are down in the large intestine, it's past the absorption sites. So these are the kind of things I want you to be thinking about as you go through these. There's forms, there's charts. Every single one of them has a chart. We have where the information's available. What are some herbs that are reported to be high in this? Mainly with herbs, it would be because they contain those. So you'd want it to be fresh because they would contain the organisms that are making it. How do you assess it? Well, blood testing's bad. And most MDs have not gotten the message that blood testing isn't really accurate. I've seen a lot of folks with high levels of B12, even what the docs are saying, it's too high, but low functional levels. So we're always wanting to look at functionally how that nutrient is operating. So serum B12 is not, mean corpuscular volume is a good indicator, but there's interfering factors, right? It could be folate is high, so the MCV doesn't go high. It could be that there's also a folate deficiency or a B6 deficiency or a vitamin C deficiency, so the MCV goes high. It could be that somebody is iron deficient anemia as well. And I always tell people, look for this. Somebody who's both iron deficiency anemia, where it makes the MCV small, and their B12 deficiency anemia makes them big, they can have perfectly normal sized blood cells and have two deficiencies going on. So you have to use these things with caution. The gold standard is considered urine methylmalonic acid. And the Clinic Norman Labs is what I've always used in the past. I think now you can get it through like Quest and others as well. This Schilling test is very invasive and they inject radioactive B12 and there's 24-hour collection. We don't do that much in the way of that anymore. This talks about the mechanisms of why MMA is important, the different supplemental forms, other ways to get it. It's not just oral. There's intramuscular, intranasal. A company came out with a spray, but they weren't allowed to actually put the nasal cannula that sprays it up in the bottle with it, because then it would be considered a drug because it was going into an orifice. So what they did was they'd sell you the bottle of vitamin B12 and they'd say, would you like a free nasal thing that you can use wherever you want to? And they would just give you the free thing, but they couldn't put it together. It would be considered a drug. That's what happened to Anna Kabeca with her DHEA supplementation. When she was selling DHEA in little capsules that was intended for vaginal use, they made her stop because that's going into an orifice and it becomes a drug that needs a prescription. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways around it. Topical patches. I remember my son when he was a teenager, and I was like, is this a B12 deficiency? Is this normal puberty? I don't know. I've never had a kid go through puberty before. And I started researching and I gave him the list of symptoms from Could It Be B12? And I said, do you have any other of these symptoms? Because he was occasionally having some paresthesias, but he was having some weird. He goes, oh yeah, all of them. I'm like, what? All of them? He was having, unbeknownst to me, he was having auditory and olfactory hallucinations. He actually put the patch on and 2 hours later came and said, Mom, wow, can that work that fast? I said, what do you mean? He goes, all the voices in my head are gone. I mean, as a mom, you freak out when you hear your kids say something like that. He's been fine ever since, and he knows the early warning signs. If he forgets to take his B12, he takes his B12 regularly. Topical creams, liposomal. I love the liposomal drops because you can control it. Sublingual is not, I don't think it's as effective because we're more likely to swallow some of it. And it doesn't really get as well absorbed because the amount you want under your tongue and how you have to hold it there for a while. But it's a good way to do it. There's gums. There's lozenges. I mean, there's so many ways to take it. Amy Yasko, who works a lot with autistic kids, and when you ask her about what's the best form of vitamin B12, she says, take it all forms as much as possible. You know, just take it in all forms so that you're guaranteed that something is going to get absorbed. Okay. Caution with these high doses. It says doses range from 150 milligrams up to micrograms up to 15 milligrams. There are some supplements that are meant for MTHFR imbalances and methylation imbalances, and they actually will have up to 15 grams. And I think it's a disservice to folks to give them that much unless you really know their genetics and their other biochemistry, because you can throw them into a tailspin. So you got to be careful with it. I go slow. I usually use micro liposomal, and I give them a drop, and increase it up until we see a difference. So, and then you always have references. So anyway, that's out. Obviously, we don't have time to go through all of the nutrients that way because, you know, there's 30 hours or something of recordings here. You've got a great library. And like I said, pick one a week, pick two a week, right? If you pick two, it's going to be anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours a week. And then you add on top of that, you know, some extra stuff that you're going to do. But also, if you just even did one a week of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, it's going to take you 3/4 of a year to get through them. And you're going to get bored and you're going to want to move on to the next module, which is, what's the next module? History taking, which is super important. So, and less technical. So you can do them concurrently. So I highly recommend you get started on it. Devote a month to it. Do as many of the nutrients as you can. And then make a goal of picking a nutrient or two a week, whichever you feel comfortable with. And then asking Lynn to open it up. We'll create at some point. That's one of our future nice to do's, a little button you can click that says, please you know, open the next module for me. But she has a form and she can open up the next module for you. And then you can keep moving on while you're working on this. Because I know some people stayed in micronutrients for 6 months because it could take that long to go through it if you really want to accurate. So are there any questions that anybody has? Was that helpful to go? I thought B12 was by far the most complicated. And you're going to see that same layout. I tried to be very consistent and maybe slightly different based on the kind of information that's available for each one. But I tried to be consistent. Anybody else? Allie, you look like you're nice and cozy and you have a fire going on in the fireplace. Nice. So questions, comments?
Yes, I have a question. Yes. It's a lot of biochemistry. So in terms of just concepts, is that really important to know all that science that well? I know you said we don't have to be perfect.
No, I think that it's not a matter of we're not like, I want you to, you know, tell me what, you know, at what carbon does the XYZ group come, you know, the carboxyl group come off of that? No. You don't need to know that. Where I really want you to know that is omega-3-6 because it has to do with the naming convention. It's important. But no, it's here's what I believe, and this is why I kind of overteach the clients as well. I teach them more than they need to know so that they have a picture of how it all fits in, and that's how you have a picture. And you know where to find it. If you happen to be researching something on B12, for example, and you're in an article and you're going, huh, they're talking about this, I don't remember that, you know where you can look. You know that you can get that, like, oh yeah, this is where it is. So I would go through them all, pull, like I said, pull out the salient clinically useful stuff. I think having the big picture is important because here's what I see a lot. I see people who have, they kind of have a, you know, a grocery store mentality or grocery store level of knowledge of what the vitamins do, right? They really not able to sit with somebody and go, whoa, but you have plenty of that in your food. And where would that be happening? And understanding, let me go look it up, right? You know where to look it up. Let me go look up. Where is riboflavin absorbed? And, oh, there's these three nutrients you're out of balance with. Where are they absorbed? And go, oh, they're all absorbed in the same area. Now we know how to hone in and go, wow, there must be something going on in this area of the body. Right. Or they're all interfered with by deficiency of magnesium. Whoa. Okay. Maybe that's, you know, the culprit, right? Because we're looking for root cause and that's why I teach it. But no, I am not, I don't have all that memorized. I recognize it all when I go back. I go, oh yeah, yeah, that's it. Right.
But right now I'm having fun just looking at labels. I've been looking at labels of food for so long. And so now it's interesting to look at labels and like, God, that's synthetic too, or that's the cheapest form.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A lot of people are out there selling vitamins and, you know, and the companies just add spirulina to it and may act like they're going to get some changes. And that's another question when people take any kind of vitamin, because people are kind of self-diagnosing themselves.
Yeah.
People are street selling vitamins now. Why do they feel better just from taking something that's that crappy sometimes?
Because they're eating crap and they're very deficient and it doesn't take much. So when, if you have somebody who's functioning down here, right? Uh-huh. And they really need to be functioning up here, but you can bring them to here, they're going to feel better. But things that are not of high quality are not necessarily going to get them past here. Right. Whereas if you work on their absorption, you work on giving them the most highly bioavailable forms, you work on giving them synergistic help, then you can get them up higher. Right. You work on the food. You can get them up higher. But you can get anybody to make any changes. If somebody's on a crap diet, you can get them to do any change, anything you know, and you're the hero. They feel better. They lose weight. They have more energy for a time, for a little bit, and then they plateau. That's where what we do, really digging in and then knowing how to run tests and all that to figure stuff out is important.
Well, it was interesting. Somebody's always asking, you know, in different Facebook groups about, oh, should I try this product or that? And I just said, why don't you just eat food?
Yeah, I know. And some of these products are super expensive. And it's sad to me when I hear people that I don't have enough money to buy organic food, but they're buying this, you know, expensive bottle of some nutrient because it promised them some magical results. And it bothers me when people are duped into thinking there's some magic going on, right? Oh, there's this new supplement and it's only $75 a pop. And, you know, it causes you to have more energy and, you know, it'll do everything in your body. Like I've tried, you know, whenever somebody tries, I can give me some, I'll try it. I don't notice a difference. There are a few things that I do notice a difference. I notice a difference when I'm home and I'm drinking a lot of greens throughout the day. And when I'm traveling and I'm not, there's a huge difference in my energy and how I feel, right? The food quality, if I'm eating too much fat or not balancing my fats with my greens, you know, I'll notice a difference. Some supplements, sure. You know, do I notice a difference? Yeah, I notice a difference when I take magnesium. You know, sometimes if I'm not sleeping well, I'm not absorbing my magnesium very well. I'm not eating enough magnesium. Yeah, I'll notice that I get leg cramps and they go away when I take magnesium, right? But this generic stuff, like take my purple pills and take my red pills and mix them together and then you're going to, you know, your sex drive will come back. There's placebo effect. Nothing wrong with placebo effect as long as it's an inexpensive, non-toxic vitamin that you're giving them, right? Just give them something that's not going to hurt them and that doesn't have all kinds of dyes in it and is going to cost them $100. I remember seeing a video. You know how those videos come on and they start to play and they're like, the mystery, right? And it's this superfood and we should all eat it. And I'm like, I'm curious. So I'm playing it. I'm like, oh God. So I go do something else and let it go. And I'm like, I bet he's talking about chia seeds, right? So I let it play to the end and I go back and it's like, buy our magical golden chia seeds for $50 a pound.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, why would I buy your magical chia seeds for $50 a pound when I can buy them at the health food store for $7 a pound? And somebody actually is trying to get me into the MLM. I don't know if that MLM still exists, but they're going through this whole thing about chia seeds. I said, honey, I've been doing chia seeds since before you were born, right? They're good. They're great. But your chia seeds are $70 a pound. Mine are $7. Oh, but you can make a lot of money if you sell these to the patients. I said, I would not be able to sleep at night selling somebody something for $70 when I could sell it to them for $7. I said, thank you very much. And they kept trying like, but they're so good. I know they're good. I was teaching people to go get chia seeds in town when no stores had them. I taught a class on how to make chia crackers and everybody went out running to the Whole Foods and they're like, what are they? And I went in there and I said, people have been asking about chia seeds. Yeah, why are they all asking? It's my fault. Well, can you get them? What are they? You know, they didn't know. Now Kroger's has them. You know, CVS Pharmacy has them. Probably all the, whatever the local places are in London area have them too, right? Everybody has them for like $5 to $10 a pound. So we just have to really be honest with people. We don't want to dupe them. Now, on the other hand, if there is somebody who is very prone to placebo effect and you know it, right? And you know that they're like, oh no, I can't go in that room because the electromagnetics are going to give me a headache. And sure enough, they get a headache. You go, okay, I have a nutrient. I want you to try it. I've been seeing a lot of good results with people who get electromagnetic headaches. Give it a try. That person might get great results if you just gave them ascorbic acid. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't mean to lie to people. I mean, I don't want to lie to people, but some people are more impressionable that way. And some people are more prone to the placebo effect. So why not use it?
Okay.
Okay.
And then in studying some of the minerals, some are in water, like the manganese is in water. Is that how you get it? Did I understand that right?
Manganese in water?
Yeah, or did I not study that right?
I'd have to look up what the food sources are. I know manganese is, what is manganese in?
It wasn't in the food chart, but it seemed like part of that was that you could get it through your water supply.
Well, if your water is not filtered, I mean, certain minerals will build up in water, but I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to get it. No, I don't think that's in, maybe go back and review that.
Okay.
I don't know the exact nutrient. Yeah. But
and so, Is the Himalayan salts, a lot of people are adding that to their water?
Oh, so like fulvic acid type salt, you know, fulvic acid deposits, these are ancient mineral deposits that are then being used into making liquid minerals. Right. So the fulvic acid will come in powder or come in liquid. And that's because it comes from an ancient mineral deposit, right? A silty salt, you know, soil type thing that's rich in minerals.
Okay. And Lynn just posted something that there is manganese in water.
Let's see what she say. Manganese in water has recently come under scrutiny due to potential toxicity as it's damaged. so that would be contaminated. Like, it's picking it up. It's not like water is H2O, right? That's right. What I was thinking, like, how could it be in water? But yes, groundwater could be contaminated with it. And we have to be careful about minerals in water because, you know, they're not an organic form, first of all, usually, and they can be toxic in toxic levels.
So just filter everything. Okay.
Oh yeah. You don't want to drink tap water. I mean, if you have,
a lot of people where I live are on well water. So
get it tested. I would always recommend people get their well water tested. You just never know what's in there. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, cool. I was just reading what Elaine, I didn't see Allison's stuff, but bring my mom food or smoothies. I wrote not to give her more toxic shakes for diet sodas. Yeah, I love that you went through your mom's stuff, right? And said, nope, she can't have this. She can't have this. More and more people have to be advocating for folks in nursing homes and for kids in schools. I went into the school teachers from the time of kindergarten. I'm like, this is what my kid eats. My kid will not eat any of this other stuff, and do not feed them, because if my child gets sick, you will be held responsible. Yeah.
They don't know anything about specialty diets. I know I would, when she first moved into the assisted living care center and I started talking to them about gluten-free options, it was kind of like, you know, they were completely clueless. So I would go through the menu each week and it's like, well, she can't have this because it's got gluten. She can't have this because it's got dairy. And they're like, you know, but it's chicken fried steak, so it's steak. It's like, no, they don't know. So, I mean, usually I would supplement her meal, or we would have like a picnic on the porch and I would bring food.
You'd bring it for her.
Mm-hmm. We also eventually found, because a lot of times in the hospital, they want to give them those meal supplements like Ensure.
Oh, Ensure.
Which are, so I did find one dietitian at one of the hospitals that suggested, I think it's called Functional Formularies. It smells horrible, but we could kind of get her to eat that towards the end, but and it looked clean, but that was my only experience with that, was with her, and it wasn't a very long time. But there's one if you need something like that.
It's very it's hard to talk to them too, because I remember I went in when my brother-in-law was in the hospital and dying from an infection as a result of cancer. And I found all this great stuff. And I said, look, this is what his lungs look like. You showed me the x-ray. This is what this guy's lungs look like right before. Don't they look similar? This is what this guy's lungs look like 72 hours after IV infusions of vitamin C at 26 grams per 24 hours. He might get a kidney stone. He's dying and you have nothing. I'd rather him alive with a kidney stone than dead. Yeah. And they wouldn't do it. They finally agreed to give him IV vitamin C, 500 milligrams. Wow. It's a baby dose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they fight you because, of course, the dietitian is the smart one, right? Yeah. Let me ask my dad. The doctors will defer to the doctor. Let me ask the dietitian. And the dietitian, oh, no, that's too high. He might get a kidney stone. My sister's like, we'll take our chances. What do I have to sign to say you're not responsible?
Oh yeah, we've been through the ringer with either mostly her, but also my daughter. Oh my gosh, we had just a lovely conversation with a gastroenterologist over Miralax. Like, you know, he had a head about this big, you know, already, and then it's like, you know, I didn't kill him though.
But we only solved one problem and created another one, so I'm glad you didn't. Oh boy. Oh, other questions, comments? So if you want guidance for like where to go in the, you know, if you've been through the modules of their particular season. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Since we're on the micronutrients. So the clients that I'm dealing with are the ones that are on the SAD diet and they're, you know, the older generation. So I guess my question is, even without doing any testing, right, what are your like top 3 to 5 nutrients that you think they really need to be on?
Mm. Yeah, at that age, right? So, and they're, right, they're, and they have issues.
That we can assume that they're all deficient in.
B vitamins. They're all deficient in B vitamins. You know, if they're eating the standard, right, American diet, they're all deficient in B vitamins. Most likely deficient in vitamin C because they're, you know, their fruit and vegetable intake comes from cans, right? Especially if they're in a nursing home. So C, the B vitamins. If they're on cholesterol medications, CoQ10, right? CoQ10 and B vitamins are interfered with by that. What else? Vitamin D. They're all deficient, right, in vitamin D. They're not getting out there in the, and so many people are deficient in vitamin D. Probably E as well, because
E.
Yeah, because E, okay, comes from like non-rancid foods that have fat in them, right? All the fats they're eating are rancid. EFAs, that's the other one. That's the other, right, one. EFAs for sure. Omega-3s for sure. So omega-3s, B vitamins, vitamin C. What was the other ones? D, and then, you know, CoQ10, E, depending on the situation with that person. But I would say those 4 are deficient in just about everybody that's on a standard American.
Okay. Yeah, I pretty much had all those covered. I didn't think about vitamin E though. Explain E more.
It's an antioxidant, right? So it comes in like your nuts and seeds will have it. And
yeah, that's true.
Once you, they're eating plant, if they're eating nuts, they're eating Planters dry roasted peanuts.
Right.
Yeah. So go figure. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. I was on the right track with that then.
Definitely on the right track. Who else? BCD omegas and magnesium. Whoa. I forgot about magnesium. How did I forget that one? You know, magnesium is abundant in green leafy vegetables. How many people are not eating enough green leafy vegetables? I'm doing a webinar later. It's the top 3 food mistakes. And I always like come up with these names and then I go, oh, what are those 3 mistakes I'm going to be talking about? Well, that most people make. One is the wrong amount or the wrong kinds of fat. Some of them are on too low a fat diet. Some of them are on too high a fat diet. And most of them are on the wrong kinds of fats. The omega-3, 6 balance is off. There's rancidity. There's heated. That's one of them. Number 2, what was my second one? Not enough non-starchy vegetables in the diet. You know, if you look at pictures, like gathered pictures, here's a typical paleo meal. Here's a typical keto meal. Here's a typical macrobiotic meal. Here's a typical plant-based meal. They all are lacking the huge amounts, like 75% of the plate being, you know, non-starchy vegetables. And then the third one is the too much of the wrong kinds of carbohydrate for their constitution. So there's those are the things that I think are deficient. Now we can go into the deficiencies and all that, but all of those things are going to lead to imbalances that we see in most people, even the healthy, you know, I was trying to go who the healthy people, right? The people who think that they're eating a healthy diet are still having imbalances. And that's why I think. Okay. MyTaven.com is awesome for what meds are depleting vitamins. Great. MyTaven. Super. Thank you, Janine. Lynn says I felt different when I increased my omegas to 2 kg daily. Yeah, there you go. Whoops, wrong link. MyTaven. Okay, MyTaven.com.
That one, Dr. Readme, was from Mark Hyman. He shared that a few years ago. And and actually it sends you to like PubMed links and stuff you can print out and actually take to your doctor or pull it up right there in front of them, which I did. And it's really awesome. And for clients too, if you want to show them, you tell them, give them the same link and have them type in their meds and they can see what it's actually doing to their body.
You know, years ago when I first started doing practice, you know, we didn't have the internet. That's how, you know, dated I am. But I had a computer. I was one of the ones that had a computer. And so I would buy all this software, like the pharmacology ones where it did the nutrients and you do this. And then a year later, like there's all this new stuff and you'd have to buy an upgrade. And a year later, you have to, finally, I'm like, I don't have enough money to buy these upgrades as often as they come out. So now, you know, everything's online. It's so awesome, right? To be able to just look stuff up. So we're in an age where we can really get a lot of good information, but we can also get a lot of misinformation. So we just have to look at the source, right? And the studies as well. You always have to look at the source of the studies. Who conducted the study? Who laid out the study? And what did they have to gain from a particular outcome of the study? Because you can make a study prove anything you want it to prove. You just have to lay it out and choose the participants in a way that makes it clear cut that you're going to get that. So is everybody excited about doing this micronutrient module? Yes. Or if you've done it already, like reviewing back through it. There's so much great information there. So much great information. I mean, you know, for 30 some hours, how many hours is that of a, that's like a full semester course, which is, it's more than I got in my full semester courses. So.
But it helps you so much. Yeah. It helped me so much. Just realizing vitamin A, D, and zinc, little things I gave my mom for her anemia. No, you need these little things here. And vitamin K with a good multi, simple changes.
Yeah.
Changed right. Her labs. Her labs were very good before she died.
Wow. Yeah. She was lucky to have you taking care of her like that. You really improved the quality of her last years. And that's important. Right. We can't always change the outcome and we can't always reverse the long-term damage that's been happening, but we can improve the quality of people's lives. And that makes a huge difference. So,
yeah, it sounds like it, Janine. It sounds like we kind of went through something similar, pretty close to each. I just lost my mom in January. And it's like, I still think about all the things and what I'm hearing from you. It sounds like you made a difference in her life. You made a difference. Yeah. I don't think my mom would have been here the last couple of years had I not learned some of the things that I learned here. I mean, even going through the stuff that I've gone through just since she's died, it's like, man, I wish I would have known this a year ago or 2 years, you know, but, you know, I knew what I was supposed to know. And I'm so glad you got to do what you got to do, because I bet $1 bazillion that you made a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. I'm going to go and get ready for my presentation. 22,000 people won't show up, but we'll see. There'll be enough. There'll be a lot of them on there. So I'm excited to like spread the word. All right, guys. Have a great evening. Have a great rest of the day. I'll unmute you so we can hear each other. Did you just join, Angelica? Oh, you were on? Okay. You've been on your headset. Yeah. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.